Easter was fantastic, was it not? Just seeing those pictures again and hearing that music just starts to refire it up within me all over again. Welcome to episode 2 of our new Table Talk interview series. I feel like I should have like a big turkey here in the middle, and maybe we'll work on that for next week. This whole month, we're focusing on the concept of generosity and what it looks like in the lives of people just like you and I that do different things that are a part of our church family. And so we're looking at how we can be generous with our time, generous with our skills and our abilities, and generous with our finances. And so the scripture has a lot to say about all of the above. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9 and 11. And the scripture tells us this. It says that when we walk in obedience to God, when we walk in his ordered steps, the Bible says you will be enriched in every way. Now, not just for enrichment's sake, but for a purpose, for a reason. And so to what end? The scripture tells us so that you can be generous on every occasion. And then it goes on to say, and through us. In other words, God is saying he wants to work in and through our lives, through the time that you invest, through the financial seed that you plant in the ground, and through your skills, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So each week we're going to have some honest conversations from members of our church, all the way from staffers right through to volunteers, and hear some stories of what generosity looks like in their lives, in their families, and to see this scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:11, to see what it looks like in real life, to see how we can live generous lives. And so last week we heard from a couple of our pastors, and this week Pastor Susan and I are going to interview a couple who is near and dear to our hearts. Some of you may be familiar with, some of you may not be. So put your hands together and welcome, if you will, Kurt and Heather Roman and my lovely wife Susan. Come on down. You know, Pastor Susan and I just got back from Taiwan, and this time last week on Sunday, I was preaching in Taipei City, and what an opportunity it was. On our second day in Taiwan, we were surrounded by people around a table a little bit bigger than this. One of the small groups of the church, Hosanna Church, that we were ministering at, and the atmosphere in the room was loud. There was laughter, there was food everywhere, and even though Susan and I were kind of at a loss language-wise, we didn't know what was being said. We had our translator next to us kind of whispering in our ear, but I knew that we were with family. I knew that around that table were people that loved the Lord, that were filled with the Holy Spirit, and we felt like we were at home. And they explained and told us stories that the church years ago had started around a table just like that one. And that now, years later, 10 churches have grown out of that one table setting. So great things can happen around a table. Now this morning, what I'd like to do is just to introduce you to who we have here today. And I don't want to assume that everybody knows everybody, because that's not always the case. We have new people in the church constantly growing, and so not everybody knows who everybody is. So let's start off by just introducing yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and how you generously give your time here at the church.
Okay, well, I'm Susan McDonald. I'm married to this guy over here. I am on the pastoral team for about the last year and a half. Before that, I was a full-time preschool teacher for about 25 years. Lots of fun there. Lots of energy required for that job. Now I'm on staff here at the church. Like I said, I do research and creative. I'm also pretty much almost always involved with whatever Christmas production or Christmas experience we have happening around here. And we have two sons, Zach and Ty. That's it for me. Oh, we've been
well
here
done.
For 15 years, sorry. Almost 15 years this
Can't
summer.
I believe 15 years have passed.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Crazy.
How time just goes by like that. It's wonderful.
That's awesome. It's a funny story about the summer that you guys came. There was a change in the pastoral team in terms of worship. And I remember, for those of you that remember Pastor David McDonald, he came to me and he said, Heather, if you could just take the worship team from like July to Christmas and just take care of it there. That would be awesome. I'm like, of course I'll help you till Christmas. So funny. Just so you know, that was 15 years ago. Be careful what David McDonald asks you to do, right. Is what I would say. That's right. The story there, though. So my name is Heather Roman. This is my husband, Kurt. We've been married for almost 24 years. This is where you say, oh, you don't look old enough to be married for 24 years.
You don't look old enough to be married for 24 years.
Just kidding. I actually gave my heart to Christ at Calvary when I was a teenager. So I committed my life then and met Kurt. We were kind of buddies and friends, and then romantic friends, and then the rest is history from there. So we got married, you know, at Calvary. All of our young married life was all here. We have three children now. They were all dedicated here at Calvary, so our roots are, we're kind of hard to get rid of now, I think. Our roots are pretty deep here. Our kids are amazing. We have a son that's 18 and two daughters that are 15 and 11. They keep us young or make us old, I'm not sure which, but they're ours, so they're a delight. What else can I tell you? In terms of time at Calvary, it's really kind of morphed as our life has changed and as we've, you know, gotten older, of course. So when we were a youth age, we were heavily involved in youth, and then same with young adults. And then when we were newly married, we were in a newly married Bible study. And then, you know, when I became a young mom, I was in a young mom's Bible study. So small groups and Bible studies and stuff like that have always been a pretty major part of our growth and our, just our understanding of our faith. And then, of course, in ministry teams, we were involved in missions and kind of sent out and gratefully brought back from some of the places that we went to. And then a worship ministry for me has just been part of the just the passion of my life and just a natural fit for me. And as a young person, was invited to be part of the youth worship team before I really even understood what that would mean. And so it's really been an area of growth and strengthening and for me as well. So I think that's everything. Oh, in terms of work, I kind of come from the book world, but I was on campus at Pacific Academy for 14 years. Loved it, loved being there. Great school, great place to work. But now I have the opportunity and am fortunate enough to be on staff here at Calvary. Yay. So I've been here a little over a year.
Woo!
Yeah, it's been amazing. And aw.
Yes.
Aw, thanks. Aw. Director of Administration and Director of Worship is my official title.
And who are you, man?
My name is Kurt. I commonly go by, you're Heather's husband. I've been going to this church for about 40 years now. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yep.
Winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Is there a prize for that somewhere?
Yeah, you think back and you're like, wow, that's crazy. But involved in kids' church and then involved in youth with Pastor Vince. Helped out there, helped with early Christians discovering their faith and things like that and helping them navigate life as they go through their teen years and things like that. Excited, and as we started having kids, I morphed out of that, and then I was asked to become a board member, and so I'm on the board here at Calvary, and then just recently, actually, last year or so, helping out with the media here, so heavily involved with the church in different phases and different things. My background is in pharmaceuticals and medical supplies, and that's me.
My name is Steve. I've been coming to church for the last couple of weeks. Somebody just gave me a mic. No, we've been here for almost 15 years now. I serve as the lead pastor, for those of you that don't know. Prior to ministry, I was involved in business, in graphic design and advertising, and so that has served me well over the years. Felt a call on my life to go to Bible school, study for the ministry. Both Susan and I went to the same Bible college, and after graduating, I went to Toronto. Pastored there for a while. We eventually would plant a church in Toronto together, and then made our way out west, where we have planted deep roots, and this is home, and we love it here. And so our boys are a blessing in our lives. We're very proud of them, both involved in kind of broadcast media and film in the film industry, editing, and
just a little shout out to them. They're the ones that did all the video and
editing
for Easter.
Oh yes, they did the Easter video.
Just gotta say that as a mom.
So we're very proud of our kids, and I'm proud to be a part of a church that stands in the corner of our students, that supports them, and so that's very important to us. whether we were leading the church or not, we would have to be a part of a church that believed in the next generation. And so I'm proud that we do. As I look back over our lives, I think of some of the greatest moments and memories that I have are, oddly enough, connected to a table. You know, there's great memories of things that have taken place around a table. Do you guys have any kind of memories that are connected to table moments?
Well, I don't have one moment, but I just want to talk about my current kitchen table, which I have actually, we bought it. We were married for a year, and then we bought a new table, and that has been our table ever since. So we've been married for almost 29 years. So our kitchen table is 28 years old, so very well made. I don't know, I don't even remember where I got it, but so it has traveled with us through, say, three provinces, but kind of four, because we moved from Nova Scotia to Ontario and back again and back again. So let's say four provinces, eight homes, and 28 years. So how many Christmases and birthdays and Easter and all the memories that are around it? I will say that the table is in jeopardy.
In jeopardy right now,
yeah,
folks. I need you to be praying.
I have been threatening to get rid of this old table for about 5 years, but my husband, who, believe it or not, is way more sentimental than I am when it comes to things, will not let me get rid of it.
I sat at the table this morning. I said, it's okay.
Nope.
It's all right.
He won't let me
get rid
of it.
I'll protect you from her.
That's my story.
Yeah, I think for everyone who was here last week, Pastor Mark was saying, you know, he was sitting at his kitchen table and the light was coming through and he saw, like, etchings in the table or whatever. And I went home after that. I'm like, looked, and sure enough, I got the same thing, kids' etchings in the table from homework and glitter and, yeah, paint all over it. So, yeah, those are fun times. My story revolves around more my childhood and my Bubba's table. She lived in East Van, and the whole family would come together and have meals around the table there. So all my cousins, all my aunts and uncles, and
a few pierogies, right?
Oh, pierogies. Love the pierogies. And yeah, so there's 100 plus of us, and in this tiny East Van home, we would fit anywhere and everywhere, and we would just talk and laugh and eat and share stories. And those times really have been a pivotal part in my growing up years.
You know, we were talking the other day in the office about our journey and our path and how it's all been very different for many of us. And for those of us that are now on staff at the church, we talk about the many people who so wonderfully and faithfully serve in this church. They're serving right now. Even as we speak, there's people all over this campus doing a number of different things. And as I look back in our lives throughout the years, even when I wasn't on staff at a church, I was serving. I was volunteering. Shortly after I gave my heart to the Lord, I found an open door. Somebody said, we need help with this or that, and I was in there. And so thousands and thousands of hours in our lives, if you look back over the years, that we have all invested into the local church, probably doing everything that's ever been done in the church that has led us to following God's call. And throughout that journey, I think you would all agree that there's people that we come in contact with that are kind of like the unsung heroes, people that are behind the scenes that nobody even knows about, that give hours of their time and invest their talent, their education, their experience. And these people are absolutely amazing. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And as Kurt's joined us here today at the table and serves on our board, I think of people like our board members. And so I want you to know you've got some incredible people that serve and love this church and steward the finances and the business of this church. I think of one in particular. John DeCam is a master in the area of air and heating design, and that's what he does professionally on a very large scale. But this time last year, as we worked towards our vision offering, we needed to design an air system for our kids' wing. And so John spent hours like mulling over plans and custom designing a system that would be specifically used for our situation. And so he designed it, he oversaw the installation. He's walked through the steps of making sure it works right. He helps us with making sure that what we do in the building, that we're energy efficient, and does the things that sometimes people don't even know are happening unless they stop, and then everybody kind of notices. He also serves as one of our sound techs, and so big thanks to John and for what he does, but an extended shout out to our board members, because they generously give of everything that they have, not only their talent and their time, but their finances. These are people that lead the charge when it comes to giving, even when it comes to, you know, we're working towards the end of the month with our vision offering. These are people that are prayerfully saying, God, what do you want us to do? You know, I think you all probably, you know, when I talk like that, have people that come to mind, right?
I just want to, so when I came on staff a year and a half ago, I got the privilege of working alongside Marilyn Weeb, who is our communication support. And I do a lot of the, so like, for example, this, why I brought this card, which you can get again today, remember, we mentioned that, for the new for the month. I do a lot of the copy, writing the copy and finding the images and that sort of thing, but I do not know how to use a computer to make graphics, but Marilyn is amazing at that, and all of this stuff is done in-house. We don't have this sent out and made for us. She does it. She's amazing. When you have those wonderful Easter or Christmas invites to give to people, Marilyn makes all of those. But I also know, like you were saying, well, yeah, she's on staff. That's not volunteering. Well, that's true. But also you will quite often on Sundays see her up in the media room or working the camera, and that is all purely volunteer. So all of the staff, I will say on their behalf, because I'm like the part-time one, definitely give above and beyond their paid hours and their office hours. They volunteer as well. The other person I want to mention really quickly is I mentioned that I'm almost always involved with Christmas. Many, many years we did big Christmas productions, and we'll do them again. We haven't done them the last couple of years, but we've always had this big, amazing Christmas experience. And quite often that involves music, and Brad and I are usually producing and directing, but neither one of us sing. So teamwork makes the dream work. So when we're doing something like that, my first call is almost always to Cynthia Seymour. I don't know if she's here today. Who's an amazing choir director, full of energy and so positive. And I always say, Cynthia, can you help? Because we can't do it without you. And she's always on board. So I just want to give a little thanks to her.
So many people, I'd love to take the whole service and talk about people, you know, that you work with or have worked with over the years. There's kind of two different things that come to mind. One is on our team, on our worship team, we have a wide variety of people, which is one of the things that I love about it. But there are a few key people that don't have the time to give and yet find a way to give the time to make things happen. So, for example, there are members of our team that are like managing law firms, mm-hmm. and yet they're still carving out time to rehearse their instrument, yeah. come to a rehearsal in midweek, be here super early Sunday morning, stay for 5 or 6 hours on a Sunday to minister throughout all the services. People that are vice presidents of companies and tech developers, and people that literally, if I was them, I don't think I would be able to find the time, but they find the time to give because I think this is where their heart is. Yeah. And there is that sense of being called to something and wanting to give in terms of having a real sense of purpose here. So that's one thing that kind of comes to mind right away. Those are kind of, the heroes to me. But there is also something interesting that happened behind the scenes this morning. So I have an opportunity to speak about it right now, which is a bit spontaneous. But the worship team that you saw this morning is not the worship team that was originally scheduled to be here today. So we had a number of people that couldn't make it or were sick or whatever happened. And so, at 7:30 and 8 o'clock when they're arriving here in the morning, they're making changes. So, okay, I guess I'll play this instrument instead of that instrument. And I guess I'm leading this song and I didn't, and these kinds of things are happening before we come and we enjoy our service and we go home. We have no idea. They're literally sweating, like buckets of sweat down their back and drinking so much water to get through the morning. So things like that happen all the time. That could happen to an usher's team. That certainly happens in kids ministry sometimes. All of a sudden you're brewing coffee coffee thinking, this is not what I came here for this morning, but here I am jumping in to help. And I know almost everyone here that has volunteered here has found yourself in that position. So that is a completely different set type of generosity. Yeah. So thank you to all of you that have stepped in and helped or thrown a lanyard on when you weren't expecting to that day. It helps make church happen. And when church happens, people's lives are changed. It's kind of that simple. So thank you to all of you that have done that. And, of course, thank you to the guys that were up here today.
We say, blessed are the flexible. They won't be broken, just occasionally bent out of shape, right? So we're thankful for flexible people. This is a unique month for us because we're on an annual basis at this time of the year, at the end of May, we work towards our vision offering. And this is an offering that goes above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. It's an opportunity for us to take a big leap ahead in the opportunities that God has for us. And last year, we had focused on that air system that John helped us develop. And this year, we're really focusing on an upgraded sound system. We've really squeezed the life out of the one that we have right now. And so it's kind of due and time. But to do all these things, it takes finances. And sometimes finances within the church and within our lives, within marriages, can be a source of tension sometimes. And it really shouldn't be. The scripture is filled with more than 800 references to finances. And so it should be something that we're not afraid to tackle and talk about as we honor God first. I think sometimes we use terms pretty easily, like tithing, and assume that everybody knows what we're talking about, when in fact sometimes people are going, what are you talking about, tithing? And for some of you, you've grown up with that, your parents, your grandparents. For others, it's something brand new that they've never heard at all, except maybe at church from time to time, and wonder what it's all about. And really, tithing just simply means a tenth. And it's a tenth of our income that when we look at Scripture in the Old and the New Testament, we see this guideline, this instruction from God, this kingdom principle about honoring God first with a tenth of our income. And sometimes that can be hard to get your head around, because it really has everything to do with trust, trusting God and His ability to take care of us. And in my life, in our life as a family, our table, you know, if we could use that as an example, has always been filled with provision for our home. And so God spoke to me a long time ago and said, if you will help me build my house, I will always be committed to help you build yours. And so I've always honored Him first with that 10%. And in my life, understanding that's a significant thing. Even to give beyond that for something like the vision offering is a stretch, right? I don't know about you guys, but I don't have rooms full of spare cash. And so when it comes to these special, I haven't told you about that yet, but there is no tree that grows in the backyard with the $20 bills on it. And so when we're asked to do something over and above what we would regular give, it's a stretch for all of us. And so we prayerfully, as a couple, say, what can we do for God? What can we do that we're believing for something big? And sometimes a big miracle, if you're believing for a big financial miracle, then plant a big financial seed and trust that God will take your loaves and fishes and multiply them and do something great. But that tenth is something that ever since I gave my heart to the Lord at 16, I have always honored God with a tenth of my income, not my net, my gross, what it is that God has blessed me with. And so that's been a challenge sometimes, because sometimes I'm like, I could do something with those dollars right there. But I've always honored God. I mean, historically, back in even Old Testament days, people weren't writing checks or, you know, giving on their app. They were bringing produce, right? They were, you know, it was an agricultural society, and so people were bringing the first fruit of their harvest and honoring God with the best. But every time that I have given, God has outgiven to me, and He's taken care. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not like I'm rolling in it because I tithe, but God has always provided. He's always been there. What does that look like in your life? What does it look like in how that principle walks out, whether it's tithing or giving at special occasions like the vision offering?
Yeah, I think early on in my walk, before we were married, I really wasn't understanding that principle where God was saying tithe. You know, I'd give, you know, $20. You'd hear, okay, tithe. Oh, okay, $10. You know, just like tithe, okay, $25. But until I understood that principle where God says, give your first tenth, give your best, it was hard at the beginning, because I was like, I don't understand this principle, but I trust you, God, so I am going to give you my first tenth. And like Pastor Steve said, it wasn't net, because I was like, okay, well, I make this amount and I give you this. And I heard God say, well, that's what you take home, but that's not what you make. So I said, okay, that's a big dollar amount, God. But if you're going to be faithful to me, I'm going to be faithful to you. And God says in his word, test them in this principle. He says, if you are faithful in giving your tithes and offerings, I will far exceed your wildest dreams. So we carried that through into our marriage, and you know that amount got bigger, and you're like, okay, we trust you, Lord, and we give and know that it will be used to, however, it doesn't matter. We're being faithful in what we do initially, and then being able to do things like vision offering. We talk about it and pray about it and go, okay, what can we give over and above our tithes and offerings to help with this vision offering? So it becomes a principle, and it's a daily habit, really. It's not a, okay, I have to give. It's a, I'm joyful and I want to give. This is what we do. So
that's such a good point, because really the principle of the tithe was never meant to be a legalistic, pressuresome situation. It's really meant to be a voluntary response to our love and honor for God. So that it's kind of like a kingdom budgeting system, to understand that when we honor God first in whatever, not just your finances, but your time and your talent, when you honor God with your best, he takes care of you every time. You know, we've heard many of us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten son. So God, out of his love for you and I, was motivated to give, and not to just give something that was small. He gave his very best. So the example that he leads for all of us is the example that we endeavor to follow when it comes to being a generous church. And every year when we take in this offering, when we challenge people to trust the Lord in it, whatever comes in, we tithe as a church on whatever comes in, and we invest it into other churches across Canada that we can plant seed into their lives. And so it's not just something that we teach, but it's something we practice even as a church. And so it's very important to understand that. And even when it comes to giving of your time, you know, when we roll a video like we just saw Easter at Calvary, it's less than a minute long, but it represents hundreds of people who are investing hundreds of hours in rehearsals, practice, creating, doing what they do, so that we can see those people come to know Jesus, make decisions. You know that in all the services over that Easter weekend, there was close to 1,800 people that came and went from this place. That is incredible. At Christmas, it was similar. It was over 2,000 that came. And so those are great numbers, and we're encouraged by the growth that we're seeing. But what we're really excited about is the lives that are being changed. And it happens each and every week, because of people just like you and me that are serving on teams. When you see people walking around with that Team Calvary tag, it means that they've committed some time. They've given generously of themselves. And so I think that when we look at our audience over all the services, we know that there's different types of people here. So what would you say to someone who's a new follower of Christ, a new maybe a member or a tender of the church, or even somebody that's been coming for a long time and has been thinking about serving? Where can they start? What can they do to get connected and to begin that process?
Well, Heather will talk in a minute about like really practical thing form that you can fill out. But I would just say to just start somewhere. So look at your gifts and talents that God has given you. And I just want to say about that, like, God doesn't give those to you just for your own personal benefit. He gives those to you so you can serve the kingdom of God. And this life is, God wants you to have an abundant life, but it's not about us. It is about the kingdom of God. And who are we taking along with us on the road to heaven? And how can you use your gifts and talents to help with that. And I heard a musician say the other day that one of the greatest privileges of their life was when they got to play for the Queen. And so I thought that was a really good example. For us, when you use the gifts and talents, you're using them for God. You're honoring God, just like on this earth you might be playing for the Queen. So I thought that was a really good example. And just to try something, and it besides giving and serving and all that, it's actually fun. Like, you'll actually have a really good time and meet a lot of really wonderful new people.
Yeah, I would have said exactly the same thing, just to give something a try.
Yeah.
You know, you might say, well, I don't have any, I'm not an amazing artist or something, I don't have fancy talents, but you might be able to press a button on a coffee maker,
yes,
which will bless a guest that will come in and have a hot cup of coffee, you know, on a cold winter morning, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All of these little moments are like a series of dominoes that bring people to a place where they can come into this room and be open to a move of the Spirit of God, or hearing the word preached, or whatever the case may be. So everything counts. Everything matters. The way someone smiles at you when you walk in the door, that matters, which means we need people to stand at the door and smile at other people.
Right.
You know, these are all very, very important things. I think sometimes, too, human nature, maybe it's just me, maybe it's my personality, we tend to complicate things. What if you just give something a shot? It's not like, you know, we're not going to tie you there for the rest of your life, but if you just give something a try, if it's not your thing, then okay, let's try something else. Like, there's so many opportunities here at Calvary, which brings me to this fancy orange card. So the seat that's in front of you has a little pockety thing in it, and there's a blue card and a yellow card and then this orange card in it. You've heard it maybe being referred to before, but if you could take your eyeballs and just kind of look at it, so you go, I know where those orange cards are when I need them. That says next steps on it, and that's because it is kind of a next step thing, like what could be next for me here at Calvary, what could be next for me at my home church. There's a wide variety of things listed here, and there's more opportunities than just this. These are just some things that are maybe easier to slip into, or something that we think might be interesting to you. So the pens are always provided in the seats, whether you take a moment right this second and fill this in, or whether you take it home and think about it and bring it back next Sunday. It can go in the white bucket. When the white bucket comes around for offering, you just throw it in there, or take it to the Welcome Center in the lobby. And then someone like me will give you a call in, you know, in a week or so and say, hey, thanks for filling this out. What do you want to give it a shot? You know, how soon can we get you in to give this a shot? So it's very casual and like Susan said, very fun. You might press a button on a coffee maker this week, but before you know it, you've got six friends because you're all making coffee together, and maybe you're going for coffee together now. So it kind of happens that easily.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember a couple years back, we had a musician who'd been with us for about 3 or 4 years, and he said, you know, when I started, I just came because I knew how to play guitar, and I just thought, oh, I'll play guitar with you. He said, I had no idea that in 4 years I'd have like a dozen more friends, and we'd be hanging out on weekends, and I'd know more about the Bible and understand more about my faith. And, you know, working together on a task or on a job, if you want to call it that, is really a part of the kingdom. It's part of your own growth.
Yeah,
I'm certainly not the same person I was when I, you know, accidentally took over the department 15 years ago.
Community and connection are essential to the growth of your faith. And so when we read a scripture like 2 Corinthians 9:11 that talks about God blessing us and enriching our lives, it is for a reason. It is so that for a great purpose, so that you and I can be generous on every occasion. And whether that's serving practically within the church, or whether it's serving in your community, or the people that you work with, or your family members, look for opportunities to step up and to serve. And know that you don't have to be trained in setting up chairs to set up chairs,
no,
right? People come out on Good Friday and set up tables and chairs and tear them all down. They didn't go to college for that. They just said, I'm going to give some time. And so we've got professionals from every walk of life that are jumping in and getting involved. And so we would encourage you to do the same, to give it a try. And above all, to be generous in how you invest your time, your talent, your finances. And let's believe God
at the end of this month for a great miracle. And it's not because one or two people will write a big check, because sometimes people do. But it's really about everyone putting something, giving something, stretching beyond what you're used to. And if you've never tithed before, I challenge you to honor God with the best that you have, whether it's with your time or your finances. And I guarantee you that you will never be able to outgive God, and He will always make sure that your table is full of His provision, and that your needs are met as you honor Him. And He is a God who is true to His word. And you've heard stories today. I wanted, through this interview series, for you to get a picture of what generous living looks like with people that are just like you, that God is using. And next week, I want to invite you back. It's Mother's Day. We're going to celebrate all the moms, all the ladies in the house. And Pastor Susan's going to have some moms up to interview them, so it's going to be a great time. But let's pause for a moment before we finish up our service, and let's pray together. Father, we thank You today for Your love. We thank You for generous living. We pray that we would follow Your example, that out of our love that we would give, that the example You've given us is that You loved us so much that You didn't just give what was left over. You didn't give what was easily spent. You gave Your best. You gave us Your Son. And because of what Christ has done, we live in abundant life. And so I pray that we wouldn't just embrace that life for the benefit of ourselves, but that we would understand that it is given to us and trusted to us to do something great and to be an influence. And so, Lord, I pray that we would forever be a generous church, that we would be generous people in how we invest everything that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.